As much as I love Chris Piccirillo, I'm not a young adult anymore. My brain thinks it is. My body, on the other hand, it doesn't do what I think it should do anymore. Hence the reason why I tear my calf muscle and stuff like that. Boy, it can be rough sometimes. Anyway, I was born Christmas Day, 1973. And this past week, I was thinking back over the years and all of the different Christmas and birthday gifts I received in December. And I started thinking, what was the greatest of all of those gifts? And I got a lot of good ones. I got my first two-wheel bicycle, had the training wheels on. A couple of years later, I got a Huffy dirt bike type of thing. I remember the first stereo I got. It did not have an aux for your phone. It did not have a CD player. It did not have a tape deck, okay? It had a turntable and an FM/AM radio. It was black. It was about this big. I thought it was the coolest thing there was. Now, a few years later, I did get a rack system, but still, back in those days, you had a turntable and a dual tape deck, which is pretty crazy. I'm dating myself big time here. One year, I got a telescope, small telescope. Interestingly enough, the name of the company was Jason, and so my parents bought it for me, and I use that all the time. I still have it to this day. I don't know if it works, but I just can't bring myself to get rid of the thing, so it sits out in my shed at this point. I thought that very well could have been the greatest Christmas or birthday, I don't remember which one it was, gift I ever received, until I realized I also received a Gibson Flying V. A Gibson Flying V is an electric guitar that is built in the shape of a V. It had deep red wood tone, white pick guard, and the thing played like there was no tomorrow. The minute you bought that thing, the minute you put it in your hands, even if you didn't know how to play it, you are a rock star, right? Now, thankfully, I did know how to play it. And to be fair, this was not a gift that was a surprise. My dad and I went down to the music store in Stroudsburg, and that was actually the literal name, the music store in Stroudsburg, and we bought that thing probably the end of November would be my guess. We put it on layaway. And I don't remember when my parents finally got it to the house, but you can imagine I was waiting with bated breath for that guitar. I opened it up that Christmas morning. I can still remember the smell of the guitar case. Not just what it looked like. I can remember the smell of the guitar case. And by the way, the guitar case was like a coffin. The thing was massive. I could hardly get it in and out of a school bus when I would go to like a jazz band rehearsal. I used to joke that if you were flying in a plane and you threw it out, you'd go locate it and play it the next day. You'd be fine. It was massive. I was wondering for a little while if Jimmy Hoffa was buried in that thing. I don't know. That'd been pretty weird, huh? That'd be pretty cool. I'd probably make a little bit of money off that. Either way, that was probably the greatest gift that I had ever received. Well, we have been now for a number of months in the book of 1 Corinthians, and we've talked about a lot of different things. We've talked about God's grace. Does anybody get tired of talking about God's grace? I hope not. It's one of the greatest things that we got. We talked about the power of the cross. We also took a look at the fact that this church was dealing with a lot of factions. There was divisions in the church. Pride was rampant to the point where people would come and take communion at the love feast together, and they wouldn't wait for each other. As Pastor Josh so wonderfully said last week, they were not discerning the body of Christ, and because of that, they were literally dying. They had some issues. There were some deep sexual issues that were going on in that church. And so Paul sees all of this, and in the midst of it, he encourages them to run the race. In other words, live out your Christian walk as though you're running to win the prize. And for us, the prize is a crown. Live your life to take a hold of that crown. That's what Paul is talking about. And you get the real sense that the crown Paul is mentioning is above and beyond salvation. So don't just be content with having your get out of hell free card. Go after Jesus, and in so doing, live your life to take a hold of that crown. Last Sunday, we talked in depth about communion, and today we celebrate communion. Paul got into the whole idea of communion in 1 Corinthians as well. Well, today we are going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And as I mentioned to you before, we are going to take a look at what we call the spiritual gifts, or also known as the gifts of the Spirit. I would think that most of us in here are familiar with those phrases. Maybe there are some who are not. So what we're going to do, before we get into the Bible, we're going to answer a couple of different questions. Three questions, to be exact. The first question is, who gives the gifts? The second question, who are they given to? And then finally, the third question, what are they and what is their purpose? In other words, why are the gifts given in the first place? If you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. If you don't have a Bible, no sweat. We got it up on the overhead. Here's what it says. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's living and breathing. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. And it has the distinct ability to cut us open and get in there and change us. So that's our prayer, Holy Spirit, that you would take the word today and you would change us in whatever way we need to be changed. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so the first thing we need to understand is verse 7 is sort of a culminating verse on talking about different gifts that are given, and we see here the answer to our first question. Who gives the gifts? The answer is the gifts are given or manifested by the Holy Spirit himself. Hence the reason we call them spiritual gifts or gifts of the Spirit. Now, a couple of thoughts on this. Number one, the Holy Spirit is good. Would you agree with that? Yeah. Which means the gifts he gives are good as well. I mean, just take a look at some of the gifts that Paul lists here in verses 8 through 11. Take a look at this. 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 11. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So there he is. The Holy Spirit is the gift giver. He's the giver of gifts, and the gifts are good. I mean, take a look at the list that Paul gives here. Now, keep in mind, this is not an exhaustive list. There is no exhaustive individual list in the Bible of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What Paul is basically doing is when he's talking about the gifts, he lists some of them. And these would probably be gifts that the church in Corinth would have been very familiar with. We too are familiar with many of these gifts, aren't we? Sure, and they're all good. The gift of a message of wisdom or a word of knowledge. Many times on a Sunday morning, we'll have that brought forth. Then there are times where Paul or the Spirit will give us the gift of faith. Now, that's different than our normal faith. The gift of faith is faith above and beyond our normal faith for something that is needed, something that needs great faith. We see here the gift of healing. Would you agree that healing is a pretty good thing? Yeah. Miraculous powers. We see the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation of tongues. By the way, that's what we had this morning. There was a tongue that was given, one of the gifts of the Spirit in use, and then the tongue was interpreted. Isn't that awesome? So if anybody comes up to you, and there are many believers, and they are believers, they're heaven-bound, they're going to see Jesus, but somebody ever comes up to you and says, the gifts are dead, realize they are not dead. They were never meant to be dead. They were always meant to be alive. Okay? So keep that in mind. We are experiencing that almost weekly right here at Emmanuel Assembly of God. No two ways about it. These are all very good things. Message of wisdom, a tongue or interpretation. Sometimes there are tongues and interpretations that are given that are so direct. There are people sitting out in the chairs and they're like, oh my goodness, God is speaking directly to me. Did you ever have that happen to you? Yeah, that's a good thing. Again, how about the gift of healing? There's a story that I like to share every once in a while. Wendy has a cousin, and her cousin is very even-keeled. She's just an even-keeled lady. She's not prone to excessiveness. She's not prone to hyperactivity and thinking and things like that. And I say that because I want to set the table for you for the story that comes next. In other words, this is a lady who doesn't mess around. It is what it is, okay? So she went down with her charismatic United Methodist Church, either Central America or South America, many years ago. This is the church that Wendy grew up in, actually. And the pastor went down, some other people went down too, and the pastor was praying over someone, and she was praying over a person who did not have a finger. I was missing a finger. And as the pastor was praying, Wendy's cousin watched the finger grow back. See, she's not going to make that up because it's not in her DNA. But listen, there are lots of false prophets. You know this, right? There are lots of false healers. Use discernment. Actually, isn't that one of the gifts of the Spirit? We just read that, the discerning of spirits. There's no discernment there, right? You just watched it grow back on. That doesn't happen normally, right? Either way, I have a feeling that the person who was healed in that way thought that that was a good thing. Yeah. No, God, you didn't need to do that. I'm happy without that finger. And God would be like, dude. That's all God would say. He'd say, dude. And that would stop the whole conversation. Either way, the gifts are good, which, by the way, lines up with God's heart, doesn't it? Yeah, God is good himself, and he loves to give good gifts. Take a look at James 1, verse 17. James 1, 17. Every good, how many good? Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So every good and perfect gift. Now, those gifts aren't just limited to the gifts of the Spirit. But you better believe that the gifts of the Spirit are good, right? And they come from the heart of a God who loves you. I hope you know that this morning. He loves you. My goodness, he loves you so much that he sent his only son to die for you. Jesus loves you so much that he did it. Isn't that awesome? This is who you are. You are loved. And you're not loved because of what you do or what you don't do. You're not loved because you can do this, that, these, and those. You're good, or you're loved because God says you're valuable. God created you. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He played a role in that. He loves you simply because of who you are. You don't have to do great things for God to love you. Amen? It's good to do great things for God. But don't do it because, oh, when I do that, God's going to love me more. No. He already loves you with a perfect love, period. God loves you, and he loves to give us good gifts. By the way, that word gifts in James 1:17 comes from a root word meaning to do a favor, to give graciously, and to do something agreeable or pleasant. Those are the types of gifts that God gives. And by the way, the fact that they are gifts means that you cannot earn them. And that kind of goes back to what I was sharing just a second ago. God doesn't give you these gifts because you've earned them, okay, as payment for a job rendered. No, he gives you gifts simply because he loves you. Think about Christmas gifts. I just named a few that I got over the years. My parents, my grandparents, they didn't give me gifts because I did something. They gave me gifts because they loved me. I didn't have to earn that guitar. I didn't have to work for it. If I did, guess what? it would cease to be a gift. It's no longer a gift. It's income, right? It's salary. If you have to work for something, it's no longer a gift. Christmas gifts are gifts. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are gifts. By the way, salvation itself is a gift too, isn't it? Sure it is. For it has been by grace that you have been saved through faith. You see, you can't work your way to heaven. You can't be a good enough person to go ahead to heaven. There is no one who is good enough. You can't purchase heaven or salvation or forgiveness. You simply receive the good gift, the death and resurrection of Jesus, by faith. That's it. You receive the gift. And let me ask you, how many of you, you know, you ask a question like this, and sometimes you never know. You think you know the answer, but you never really know. Or there's always somebody who's going to raise their hand anyway just because they want to troll you a little bit. Okay? How many of you have ever left a gift under the Christmas tree and just said, I don't want it? Anybody do that? No. If you have, bring them to me. I'll take them. I like gifts. And if I don't like it, I'll sell it. That's a good gift. No, who would leave a gift under a tree? That's ridiculous. Unless, of course, it was that deranged Easter bunny outfit from A Christmas Story. That pink nightmare. You look like a pink nightmare. You look like a deranged Easter bunny. Man. I'm just trying to think, if somebody actually got me that, would I wear it? I might be crazy enough to wear it. Why not? Right? Either way, it's a gift. It's received. The gift giver loves you. This is why he gives the gifts. So, the first question, who is the giver of the gifts? And we see that it is the Holy Spirit himself. Second question, who are the gifts given to? Maybe another way you can ask that question is, does the Spirit give them to all people? And the answer is a resounding no. Okay? Take a look at verse 7 again, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now if you're like me, you look at that verse, you say, it doesn't really tell us who they are given to or who they're not given to. O ye of little faith, it actually does. You see, there's a phrase, and the phrase here is each one. And in order to understand what each one means, you have to dig into the context of the letter. This letter was written by Paul to the church in Corinth. So each one represents every believer in the church in Corinth. Does that make sense? Okay. So Paul is simply saying here that the Holy Spirit gives all of you church members in Corinth a gift. By the way, take that out to its end. The truth is that the Holy Spirit gives gifts to every believer who has ever lived or who will ever live. He gives gifts to everyone who is a part of the body of Christ. Everyone. Which speaks to Emmanuel Assembly of God as well. If we are born again and we know Christ and we are his disciple, he has given us, and we'll see here in a moment, at least one spiritual gift. And so there you go. It's the Holy Spirit who gives gifts, and he gives those gifts to believers. And by the way, he gives them to all believers. And that's a key thought. He doesn't just give them to pastors. He doesn't just give them to apostles or prophets. He doesn't just give them to leaders in the church. Sometimes we have this hierarchical thinking, oh, the people are in leadership. Let's put them up on that pedestal. They're different than we are. No, no, not really. We're not. I put my pants on one leg at a time. Although when I tore my calf muscle, I was putting them on sitting down two legs at a time. Either way, the point is that we are all in this together. We are all equal at the foot of the cross. This idea that some Christians are better than others, it's foreign to the scriptures. By the way, this is, well, there's a number of reasons, but this is one of the big reasons why racism is such a ridiculous thought. I mean, the scripture says clearly There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. We're all one in Christ. So how could you look at somebody who's a different color than you and say, you're not equal to me? And how can you do that if you're a Christian? Wrap your mind around that one. You had Christian slave owners. What? That's an oxymoron if I've ever heard of one. Many morons as well. Right? We're all one in Christ. And the gifts, in essence, prove that. They're not simply given to super Christians or super disciples or Reinhard Bonnke or Billy Graham, the big names. No, and nor are they given to people who seem to be more holy than other people. Those who do more good deeds. Listen, holiness is good. The Bible says, be holy as I am holy. Doing good works in the name of Christ, that's a great thing to do. That was a part, really, of the tongue and interpretation that we heard this morning. Sharing the gospel, the love of Christ with somebody, that's a good work. We should be doing that, absolutely. But they're not simply given to people who are holier than others or who do more good works. They were given to every believer in Corinth. And they are given to every believer in the body of Christ down through the ages, and they are given to every person sitting in this building right now. If you know Jesus, the gifts, in one way or another, have been poured out upon you. And what's cool is Paul uses the human body to prove this point. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 26. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If your ear starts to speak, you might want to take a moment. Okay? If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. It's a great illustration, isn't it? In case you didn't know already, our bodies are made up of many different parts. Hands, feet, noses, eyeballs, brains, lungs, hearts, left calf muscles. I never thought of my left calf muscle ever in my life until the last 2 weeks. It's a pretty important part of your body. It really is. I can testify to that. Our bodies are made up of different parts. Some parts are weaker than others. Some parts are stronger than others. Some parts we can present no matter where we are. Others, you better not because you'll go to prison, right? Each part of the body, therefore, has a purpose. And each one is important. Again, the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. That would be utterly ridiculous, wouldn't it? Sure. I mean, if the eye says, get out of here, and the hand leaves, could you imagine your eyeball trying to pick up a pair of scissors? Or a knife? Steak knife. Let me get that for you. All right? There goes your eyeball. Your head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. I mean, you can stand on your head if you want, but walking on your head is probably going to be kind of tough. Each part of the body has a purpose, and each one is important to the rest of the body. Ray Stedman. I've quoted from him in the past. He's a pastor. Many years ago, he's gone on to be with the Lord. He says this. It put a smile on my face. He says, I was preaching in a certain place in the eastern United States once, and a doctor came up to me afterwards and said, you may be interested to know that there is a certain part of your body that is absolutely essential to you as a preacher. You probably do not even think about it when you're preaching, and yet without it, You could not do the work you are doing. Do you know what it is? I said, no. Is it my tongue or my brain? No, the doctor said, those are obvious. It's your big toe. Yeah. Did you know that if you didn't have a great big toe on each foot, you could not even stand up to preach? You all thinking about your big toe right now, aren't you? Yeah. Making sure that thing still works. I think I could push on that. It's the toe that has the ability to sense when your body begins to lean or shift or get out of balance or fall, and it immediately strengthens you so that you can stand up and speak. Stedman goes on and says, I've been guarding my big toe very carefully ever since because I need that big toe. It's an essential part of my ministry. That's it. That's the body. It all works together. Different parts, different purposes, but all working together. So you say, how does this tie into the gifts, Paul? Well, we are the body of Christ. He's our head. We're the body. Each one of us has a part or a role to play. Each one of us has a purpose. And let me tell you that the purpose that you have in the body of Christ is incredibly important. God can raise up others sometimes when the need arises. But let me say it like this. If you and I, if we're not fulfilling our purposes, there's going to be something missing in a church. You know what I mean? There's going to be something missing. Because he's given each one of us a plan. He's given each one of us a purpose. And here's the deal. The spiritual gifts play a huge role in helping us play our parts and fulfill our purposes. Take a look at verses 27 through 30, if you could. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers. He's giving some more gifts here, okay? Here's another gift list. First of all, apostles, prophets, third teachers, then miracles and gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? The point he's getting at here is not necessarily. The Holy Spirit gives gifts to disciples of Jesus as he sees fit. Okay? And he's given us these gifts to help fulfill our purpose. Now, let me talk about this for just a quick second. Not every one of us has the same giftings. We're all different. Now, some of us may share the same type of gifting. But for the most part, as you look at a church as a whole, we're gifted in different ways. And, you know, I really appreciate, let me step back here for a second. Over the last 40 to 50 years, there has been a real focus, renewed focus on the gifts of the Spirit within the church. For a while, that thought that the gifts are dead, that was part of mainstream Christianity. But the last 40, 50, maybe even going back 60 years, that's changed. So there's a renewed focus on the gifts, the spiritual gifts, and I love it. And one of the things that they teach typically is that God gives you a gift. He might give you two. He might give you three. He might give you four. And those, in essence, are your gifts. Have you ever been a part of a service or a life group or a Sunday school where you did a spiritual gift survey? Raise your hand. Anyone in here ever been a part of that? Okay, a few of you. Maybe we'll do it in this church someday. I don't know. We'll see how it works. Basically, what happens is you get a survey with all the different gifts that are mentioned in the Bible, and then by answering some questions, you kind of get an idea as to where your heart is. And the idea then is that since my heart is here and a passion is here, this is where I'm gifted. And then, you know, here's your main gift, your second gift, your third gift, whatever. I think that's good. As I look at myself, I've been gifted with preacher, teacher. That's it. I mean, I don't think that's it, but that's the big one. And that's the one I carry with me all the time. So I think that's good. The point, though, that I want to make is this. Be careful that you don't limit what the Spirit wants to do. Because it very well could be that he wants to use a gift through you at a moment's notice that he never used in you before, and he may never use you in that way again. I can't speak for the pastor that prayed and the finger grew back on. I can't speak for that. I don't know if that's ever happened like that again. But just for argument's sake, at that moment, God used that gift through her and boom, a healing occurred. Totally unforeseen, God was praised. Somebody's probably doing cartwheels thanking God for all he had done. So don't limit God. You might say, oh, you know what? Throughout my life, I've seen God has gifted me this way. I have the gift of helps. I use tongues and interpretation. That's great. But God may use you in a totally different way with another gift. And you may not even know you're doing it. So be open. Please be open to how the Holy Spirit would use you in this area. Anyway, we've answered two questions so far. One, who's the gift giver? Everybody. Holy Spirit. Two, who's he give the gifts to? Everyone. Everyone who names the name of Jesus. Young, old, everything in between, gives it to us. The third question is, what's the purpose of the gifts? Well, I suppose when you look at each individual gift, obviously there's going to be different purposes. The gift of teaching is going to be different than the gift of administration or the gift of hospitality. Okay, so obviously different purposes. But I do believe we could give a grand purpose, an overarching purpose that applies to every spiritual gift given. And that purpose is to build up the body of Christ. Take a look at verse 7 again, 1 Corinthians 12. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Okay? That's how the NIV translates it. New King James Version says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. New Living Translation, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. See, the gifts are given for the common good of the body of Christ. God doesn't give you or me a gift so we can just sort of sit on it. He gives us a gift so that we can bless and minister to one another, and especially when you get into the gifts of evangelism and stuff like that, bless and minister to the church that don't even know they're the church yet. There are people in the Allentown area, the Lehigh Valley area, that belong to Jesus and they don't even know it. They simply haven't heard the gospel. Gift of evangelism. God raises up men and women, sends them out, right? God knows they belong to him. He knows the end of the story. They don't know it yet. Well, how can they follow if they never hear? And how can they hear if nobody ever tells them anything? And how can anyone tell them something if no one goes? That's kind of biblical there. That's Paul. I'm stealing from Paul a little bit. Beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, right? Evangelism, one of the gifts, one of the great gifts of the Holy Spirit. Either way, the gifts are given for the common good, for helping, profiting the body of Christ. Yeah. They're not given to us so we can look good as individuals. They're not given to us so that we can make a name for ourselves. Hey, look what I can do. I can prophesy. I can give an interpretation. You have to sort of say it like that. Sometimes it gets the anointing flowing. Right? I should probably be slapped. I should not say stuff like that. I'm just having fun with it. Either way, that's what's going on in the church in Corinth, by the way. One of the reasons Paul wrote chapter 12, 13, and 14 is because there's probably a question they had about the use of the spiritual gifts. The church in Corinth were using the gifts, and they were using them well. By the way, that gives credence that God doesn't give spiritual gifts simply to mature believers. This church was about ready to split in four different ways. There was immaturity, sexual immorality. There was crazy stuff going on in this church, right? And yet the gifts are still flowing. Well, how can God do that? Doesn't he know that that man is sleeping with his stepmother and nobody cares? Of course God knows that, but he gives gifts. The minute you get saved, the minute you give your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit can use his gifts through you. Like 5 seconds. 5 seconds, 3 seconds. The Holy Spirit can use those gifts. It's not based on maturity. Okay? It's based on God's love and his purpose for the body of Christ. Now, that does not negate the fact that we should become mature. Okay? That does not negate the fact that we should be walking in the fruit of the Spirit. The purpose, though, is that here is a church that was struggling with sin and nonsense, and the gifts are flowing. And one of the questions was, how do we use these gifts? I mean, people would get up and they would speak in tongues, right? Kind of like what we had this morning. And before the one person was done speaking in tongues, somebody else would start speaking in tongues. And then maybe a third or a fourth. And the next thing you know, it's this cacophony of sound. Nobody hears any tongues. And then they start to interpret. One person starts to interpret. Someone cuts him off. Another person cuts her off. And it's out of order. That's what's happened. It was out of order. So Paul writes to them, here's how I want you to use the gifts, specifically within a church service. But man, it also seems that there was a hierarchy of gifts. Those who had the gift of prophecy thought they were better. I'm better than you. You just speak in tongues and nobody knows what you're talking about. I speak in English and everybody knows what I'm talking about. Right? Oh, you're just an administration person. Well, what does that mean? You know, they were judging each other based on the gifts that they had. Folks, what nonsense. I've been using that word a lot lately. Yeah. So much nonsense in the world. So much nonsense gets into the church. This is all nonsense, which means it's nonsensical. Why are we going to judge somebody based on a gift that God gave them? In essence, aren't you judging God? I don't want to go down that road. Let's not judge each other. Let's love each other. It doesn't say judgment covers over a multitude of sins. It says love covers over a multitude of sins. And I would submit to you that if we continue to walk, and I'm not thinking of anybody specifically, but if a person continues to walk in judgment, you are actually sinning and causing to sin. Okay, that's what's going on in Corinth. But the gifts at the heart of it are given for the common good to build up the body of Christ. Take a look at Ephesians 4, verses 7 through 12. Paul really hammers it home here in this letter. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. There it is. That's the fivefold ministry. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, fivefold ministry, okay? They're gifts actually given to people, the gift of pastor, the gift of apostle, the gift of prophet. And notice those gifts are given to do what? To build up the body. Well, all of the gifts are given to build up the body. And I would submit to you that if we're not building one another up, what are we doing? Right? We need to be building one another up. That word build up or built up here in Ephesians 4 means to edify and strengthen. They're given for the common good, strengthen one another, help one another grow, to build each other up. David Guzik says the purpose of the manifestation of the Spirit is to benefit the whole church family, not just a particular individual. Chuck Smith says it isn't for my own personal pleasure. It isn't a toy for me to play with. It is for the profit of the whole body of Christ. Amen. So there it is, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Three questions. Who gives them? Holy Spirit. Second question, who are they given to? Each of us, all disciples. Number three, why are they given? So we can build each other up. God knows what he's doing, right? He really knows what he's doing. It's an awesome thing. Now, I am not today getting into all the different specific gifts that the Bible mentions. I would probably say there's 20 to 30 different spiritual gifts that the Bible in different parts speaks about. That's not in the scope of today's message, and it probably won't be in the scope of the book of 1 Corinthians. But I would encourage you to read over them on your own. Find out in the Bible where the gifts of the Spirit are mentioned. If you have it is so easy today. Just go online if you have a computer and Google it. Gifts of the Spirit. And I'm sure they'll give you all of these different lists for you to read. You can go to a Christian bookstore. You can buy books on them. You can get references to find them and concordances, stuff like that. Learn about them. Learn about them. Then ask God, God, how are you using me in this? How do you want to use me in this? Because at the end of the day, the whole point of why I bring this message is because if there's a goal that we should have, the goal should be that the gifts of the Spirit flow in and through us all the time. Think of walking in the gifts of the Spirit as a lifestyle, right? We want to walk with Christ. We want our lifestyle to represent Jesus. Think of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the same way. It should be a lifestyle, right? You could give a tongue on a Sunday morning. You can give a tongue at a life group. You could share Jesus with somebody on a Sunday morning. You find out they don't know Christ. You start sharing. You could do that on your job. There, and those are just two examples. I'll finish with this thought. I was sitting at a Friendly's many, many, many years ago, a friend of mine named Ken. And we would get together, probably once a month. And it was kind of a pastor-member relationship, but then it turned into a really good friendship. He lives down in Texas now. We're still friends to this day. We talk every couple of weeks. And we're sitting there, and I don't know if I've told you this or not, but it worked in this message. We're sitting there in a booth, and it came time to order dessert, of all things, if I remember right. And I am very quick. I see something, and I make a decision. Okay, that's what I do. Unless I'm shopping for cars, but even then, I probably have a good idea of what I want. Otherwise, what am I doing with my life, right? So I walk in, all the ladies are like, dude. I walk in and I look at the thing and I'm like, I want this. I was done, because that's what I wanted. My friend was sitting there, he's like, what do you think I should get? He asked me. The waitress looks at him and says, why don't you make your own decisions? Don't worry about it. Man up and make your own decision, right? I don't know the exact wording, but that's basically what it was. And she says, I'll give you a minute. And she walks away. Now, I'm sitting there and my mouth is like hanging open. It's not hanging open because I thought, wow, the gall of that woman. The mouth is hanging open because I swear, one of the gifts of the Spirit just happened, right? And here's why. I don't know if she was a believer, and this may... Okay, listen. There are rules, right? But we know that God has spoken through donkeys, okay? I am not saying the waitress was a donkey. What I am saying to you here today is that God, at times, can still choose to use even an unbeliever to bring a gift, okay? And I looked at my friend, and I'll tell you something. He wrestled with making decisions as a lifestyle. He did. It was just something that came hard to him. And I looked at him, and I said, the Holy Spirit just spoke to you. Seriously, did you get that? I don't know what his response was. I don't know. Do you think he spoke to me? That's terrible. It's terrible. Just another example that you never know when you can be used by God. You never know when the gifts can flow through you, even a gift you've never known before. So what should we do? Father, here I am. Send me. And send me in the power of the Spirit. Send me with the spiritual gifts. Amen? Can we stand together? And Tara, is Tara back there? Can you jump up on the keyboard, please? Stretch a little bit.